his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Carol Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and thank you so much for this picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. And we ask you, please, dear God, just to pour your Spirit out on us today as we celebrate moms and thank you for them. Thank you for their influence in our lives. Thank you for everything they've added to each and every one of us. And we just want to tell you we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't you go ahead and say hello to some folks around you. This is our greeting time, so say hello. Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad you're here this morning. All right, you may be seated. Sophia's going to go ahead and bring us announcements this morning.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers out there. That includes moms of pets, by the way, so, you know, yeah. All right, so life groups are meeting. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:15, and this Sunday we are meeting at 9:15 in the sanctuary, or I guess that's next Sunday. On Saturday, May 14th, the North River Shores Golf Tournament is going to be going on. It's for the 76 Project, so we encourage you to come out. And, oh, yes. As always, if you are a guest, we would like you to fill out this little part on the sail and tear it out really nice and put it in the offering. It's a really great way for us to connect with you and get to know you a little bit better. And on Sunday, May 15th at 3 p.m., there will be worship at the Stuart Lodge. There's going to be special music and a devotional message. And then family movie night is going to be awesome. It's a church-wide movie night at the Regal Cinema at the Treasure Coast Mall. That'll be at 7 p.m., and it's $14 per person for a ticket, so you can see Brother Nick for those. And then on Wednesday, it is official. All of the incoming sixth graders are going to be in youth. We're so excited to have everybody and to have newcomers, and so all rising sixth graders are invited. They are welcome, and we will be, that'll be Wednesday, May 25th from 6 to 8 in the Fellowship Hall. So again, if you know any rising sixth graders, we are super excited to have you all. And as for that, I think that'll be it. So yeah, thank you.
One more quick announcement. It's fine, Sophia. This didn't make it into the sale, but choir is going to be starting rehearsal next Sunday. At 1:30 p.m. So for those of you in choir, 1:30 p.m. next Sunday, we're going to start rehearsing for our 4th of July, which is on July 3rd, musical. So if you love to sing, if you just love to sing in the car or sing in the shower or sing, you know, where nobody can hear you, we'd still love to have you. Choir is this wonderful large group of singers, so we welcome one and all to our fold and to join us singing some patriotic music this summer. So we'd love to have you be a part of that. So let's just go before the Lord in prayer and bow our heads right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the mothers in our lives, Lord, for the way they've influenced us, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you will just pour out a special blessing upon them this morning, Lord, that they would feel loved and recognized by not only their family around them, Lord, but that they would just know that they are loved by you, Lord, that you just deem them precious in your sight, Lord. We just thank you for the wonderful role that mothers play in our lives and the lives of our children and our grandchildren, Lord. And just pray a blessing on all the mothers and the generations of mothers in this room and around the country and around the world this morning, that you would just give a special touch upon their lives, Lord. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless. We want to release our children for Children's Church at this time. And as they're departing, I want to remind you of a couple of the announcements. Golf tournament coming up this next weekend. There's still possibilities for teams to register. And then also, we still have some of the messages from several weeks ago that have been requested that are in the lobby. If you'd like to pick one of those up on the way out, they're available. And then our offering is for the children's homes, Florida Baptist Children's Homes, our Mother's Day offering, and want to encourage you. Both Kim and I have served on the board for that through the years, and it's a tremendous ministry. And then we also have a registration here. We're trying to register a very godly Christian for the school board. And so if you'd like to help us with that, just to fill out this information and then leave it in the lobby on your way out, and we'll see that it gets to the proper folks. That's so important. In fact, that's really the operational edge of everything, is the school boards across the nation and their control over our schools. So today I'd like for us to look at a couple of the moms in the Bible. And in my devotions the last few weeks, they've really captured me, and I've just been able to picture this image of them and their encounter and what happened. It's familiar to all of us. So if you've got your Bible, turn to Luke, and let's look at this example, this encounter, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. The encounter of two pregnant young moms and the results of it, which are amazing. Now, at this time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And then Mary said, which is often referred to as the Magnificat, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. Here we see an amazing encounter between these two young women, these two young moms. And we see within them not only them, but there's not just the two of them, there's four of them. There's them and their sons that they're carrying, both of them carrying their sons. And we see an amazing thing, that these babies, now the word there for babies is brephos. I think in your notes it might be B-O-S. It should be brephos, H-O-S. But in our notes, this word brephos is the Greek word here, and it refers to many different things. It's used in many different usages in Scripture. And we see that it talks about an infant, it talks about an embryo, it talks about a fetus, it talks about a nursing baby, it talks about a toddler. Brephos refers to all of these aspects of childhood and is indistinguishable in the Greek language. It's interesting that we see an example of it in the next chapter, in Luke chapter 2, verse 16, referring to the Lord Jesus. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. So here we see a baby, a born baby, a viable born baby, the Lord Jesus, laying in a manger. And then we see also a reference to Timothy, and he himself in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and here it says, "And in case I declare, I write to you that they may know how one ought to..." That's not it. Anyway, there's a reference to Timothy as a baby as well, with this particular term for brephos. And so let's look at the passage together and walk through it. First of all, we see the most magnificent motherhood event in human history. In human history, we see a young maiden, a young woman who conceives, and she is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And God Almighty has done this, a miraculous event to stand the test of time forever and ever, and conceived in her the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. Miserable math, great theology. The most magnificent conception in the history. So as we look at the passage, we see some things that occur at this point, and as we go down and look through it. In verse 46, if you'll go down with me, "And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. And then she said, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And here we see a reference to not only Mary's soul, but also her spirit. Oftentimes, these are confused by people in theology and religious discussions, and these are two very distinct things, our soul and our spirit. The Bible describes all of us as tripartite. We're in three parts, body, soul, and spirit. And when the Bible says that we're created in the image of God, that's really what it's talking about, because God has chosen to manifest himself to us in that same way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We see God the Father, the will of the Trinity. Jesus said, not my will, but my Father's will be done. And we even see that he said the Spirit of God doesn't speak on his own. He doesn't represent himself, but he speaks what I tell him to speak. And we see again the submission of will in the Trinity. Then we see, of course, the body is represented in the incarnation of Christ. God came into human flesh 2,000 years ago. He invaded time, space, and history and came into this world and took on a body. It's a body now that is 2,000 years old. An amazing thing for God Almighty to have a human body. And then, of course, we see the Holy Spirit corresponding to the Spirit. In Scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we see this delineation of body, soul, spirit. "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And so here we see this idea of body, soul, and spirit. And the Word of God is so powerful it can even do surgery between these entities in each of our lives. So she said, "My soul exalts the Lord." My soul. This is the personality of Mary. This is the young woman. And she's saying, everything that is within me is excited about what God is doing. I am exalting the Lord. I am lifting him up. I am making him big and giant in my life. Then we see the spirit of Mary. It's interesting that here we see before the crucifixion of Christ, before Pentecost, before the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the earth, we see Mary talking about her spirit. Now, we need to recognize this. It's so important that every human being on earth is born with a spirit. We're born with a spirit, every one of us, but it's stillborn. We're all born and our spirit is dead. It has amazed me through the years as a pastor, especially with children, maybe even smaller children, to see them respond to Christ, to His Spirit, accept Him, and to see a change in those little lives. It's amazing to me. I've just seen it recently with one of our granddaughters, Kinley. And I love Kinley to death, but for these first years, she's been a little standoffish, you know. And, you know, I love on her like all of them. I'll lick their necks. I pick them up. I give them candy. I never say no. Everything's yes. And I do all of that with all of them. But she's been, in the past, a little standoffish. And I've just been patient with it and loving on her and, you know, trying to win her around. And about a year, year and a half ago, she gave her life to Christ. And I have one of the closest affinities now to Kinley of all of our seven grandkids. And I do believe it's spiritual. I mean, there's just a light in her that wasn't there before. And she was raised good. I mean, raised to believe in Jesus. They're at church this Sunday with two different neighbor families from their neighborhood. They're trying to win to Christ. And they are aggressively seeking Christ in their lives. But I've seen a difference in her. And now she's writing these scriptural songs in her journal. And I look forward when we go to visit them. The first thing I ask, Kinley, please go get your journal and read to me. And she'll read these to me, and it's just exciting. And she'll stand right here on my knee, just right against me. And the book will be like hanging over me, and she'll read it to me. The Spirit. Now, here's Mary, pre-Pentecost, pre-pouring out of the Holy Spirit over the earth. And yet, here she is, Mary, this godly young woman, born again. And you say, how can that happen? And the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out yet. Well, that's not the case. In theology, we studied, and Leon Woods had a book, The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and he went through and studied the occurrences of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has always worked on us throughout the ages. Before Pentecost, now, He was uniquely poured out over the earth then, but He has always been working, and we see Him bringing salvation to Old Testament patriarchs and saints, revival to Nineveh. We see a bunch of different things the Spirit of God was doing in the Old Testament. And there's references where David says in Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but he did not mean losing his salvation. He meant taking the blessing away. It's what we call in the New Testament quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit. So here's Mary, this godly young mom, pregnant with her first child. And by the way, I hate to tell y'all, but she was not a perpetual virgin. Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. He had family and that came along after. And that didn't affect the godliness of Mary at all. Born again, loving Jesus. And she says, with my spirit, I am worshiping and rejoicing in God my Savior. I'm so excited about Him. And then the state of Mary was a bondslave, blessed through all generations. Who can deny that Mary has not been blessed through all generations, that God fulfilled this promise? In fact, maybe even excessively, where she is maybe over-venerated some with Mariolatry and that. But right now, there's 1.1 billion Catholics in the world, and there's 1.1 billion Protestant and Evangelical Christians in the world. So 2.2 billion professing Christians in the world. Now, within Catholicism, there's tens of millions who really venerate Mary. They even pray to her, and their attitude is, who can speak to a son better than his mom? But the scriptures say there's only one intercessor between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need me as a pastor, a priest. You don't need Jesus' mom to represent you. Go straight to him and talk to him. Can I hear an amen? And if you're in doubt about that, give it a try. But we see here that in relationship to this, there's this promise to her. You're going to be blessed through all generations. And what a godly woman she was. A bondservant. Humble. Humble. And it's amazing what she went through. We'll look at that in a second. But we see that there's the salutation of Mary to God and what she said to God directly. You've done great things for me, and your name is holy. Now, it's interesting for her to say, you've done great things for me, because what's just happened in her life? She's in the Jewish culture, the Jewish government, a very legal government, an Old Testament Pentateuch government, and she's engaged to Joseph, a betrothal, which carried with it almost the binding aspects of marriage. And yet she's not married yet, and now she's pregnant. That's a dilemma. That was a dilemma for the godly young woman, the born-again spirit woman who loved God with her soul and spirit. That was a dilemma because there was a big aspect of judgment there. And we see Joseph, the godly man he was probably heartbroken at first. Mary, you're pregnant? You know we haven't, you know. What? And she says, God did this. What? I'm sure he said what at first. What? You know, and the response to it. But then here's what happened. He pondered it. He thought about it. And he thought about the consequences for her. And he loved her. And he thought, you know, if I take that route in our culture with our laws, dire things could happen to Mary. I mean, it could be all the way to stoning for immorality. And he determined, it says in Scripture in his heart, I'm not going to put her away publicly. In other words, I'm not breaking the engagement publicly. I'm going to do it privately for her sake. But then the Lord assured him, no, I did this. This is a miracle. This is the Messiah that y'all have all been looking for. Here comes the Savior, the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. So Mary, even in the midst of all that, she says, look what great things God has done for me. I mean, he put her in a bind. Socially, possibly for the Jews legally, and yet she says, I'm going to rejoice no matter what. How many times in our lives do we need to rejoice when we don't understand? I know for some of you, you've lost your children prematurely, and for you moms, you thought, I carried this baby, I nurtured this baby, I raised this baby, and now gone before me. And they say one of the greatest tragedies in the world is a child to die before their parents. But you have to just trust him, and you have to have the attitude that Mary had. What great things he's done for me. And his name is holy, separated, sinless, perfect, no compromise, no darkness, no shadows, no lies. Absolute truth, the holiness of God. And his mercy is generational. We see in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live and your descendants by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. And then Isaiah 44:3, For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. That's what God does. If we decide to live for Jesus, he pours out blessings on our descendants. Here I am now, and I have Kinley, my granddaughter, reading me scripture songs she's written. And here I have Gabe riding in the car requesting Bebop, YouTube over the radio, these Christian songs. And we sing praise songs with our grandkids, and they're so exuberant about it. When we stayed in Anderson one of the last times, Cohen, the littlest grandson of the gardeners, crawls into bed, and he sings to me to wake me up. It was a great way to wake up. He's going to fight our battles. He's going to fight our battles. It looks like we're surrounded, but you're surrounding us. You know, and he just starts this little voice just singing this whole worship song. We're blessed with the generations. God blesses our generations. I'll never forget the time at McDonald's I've shared with y'all before where I was on a little date with Clara, and she's standing with her arms stretched out on the booth at McDonald's in Palm City, and these three silver-haired ladies are sitting behind us, and they're having their lunch, and they notice Clara, and they say, oh, what a beautiful little girl. And so Clara spins around, and now instead of with her arms like this along the back of the booth, she's got her hands leaning over where they are. And she looks at him, and she said, Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And they look at her and they said, I think that little girl said something religious. And she said, Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And they said, she did say something religious. And here's little Clara trying to win these senior ladies to Christ. How exciting is that? We see here that he says these generations are going to be blessed. And he's talking, sharing this, and Mary's rehearsing it. He's accomplished mighty deeds, and he has scattered the proud of heart. He's scattered the proud of heart. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we see one of the great 3:16 passages. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Amazing, miraculous things that have come from this mother's obedience to God and the birth of her son. He has scattered the proud of heart, the scriptures say. The scriptures talk about Jesus being a cornerstone that many will fall on, and he will crush them, that he will break them. And the idea that he says, when I come, I don't bring peace, but a sword. There's sometimes division. But he says that I have come and I'll scatter the proud of heart. And he has brought down rulers. I love this saying. The Bible is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. And the scriptures say that we're to kiss the Son lest he be angry. And Jesus Christ is the dividing edge all over this world. All over this world. Now, I was reading statistics looking, and it looks like Christianity's on the decline in America. In the last 15 years ago, we dropped from 71% to 63% claiming to be born again, which is a drastic drop in the history of our nation. The unchurched, the irreligious, the unreligious has gone from 4% to getting toward 10%, about 8%, at least a doubling. But it doesn't make any difference what's going on in the apostasy of our country. Amen. What matters is all over the world, there's record numbers of people coming to Christ in the Muslim bloc nations, in Africa, the underground church in China. And the church of Jesus Christ is marching on. And we see here in Scripture that he talks about bringing down the rulers and he exalts the humble. If you're here today filled with your self-righteousness and your pride, and you feel like that you've got it all together, and that you're doing Jesus a favor being here because he needs you so badly, you're in error. He responds to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. And he responds to us. And here Mary's saying, this is what God has done. This is what he's doing. Here I am, insignificant young Jewish woman, one of the most insignificant parts of the earth. I'm from nowhere. I'm nobody. And look what God has done. She wasn't a princess. She wasn't a queen. She was just simply this young, godly Jewish girl. He has filled the hungry and sent away the rich. Look at the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. The rich man, lifting up his eyes in hell, being in torment, cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Dip the tip of your finger in water and touch it to my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. And then he refers to Lazarus. He sees Lazarus standing there in paradise before Jesus died in time, space, and history. And he says, well, look at Lazarus there. And he says, well, you got to realize in your life you received all these good things. Lazarus, nothing. And now he's here with us. We see also that he has given help to Israel to remember his mercy. Israel has a lot they're trying to get over, the Jewish people in the world. They've got the Holocaust, and they're saying, where was God? And they're struggling. And yet God is saying, this is the result of human sinfulness. This is the result of despotism. This is the result of fascism, communism, socialism. This is the result of those things. And yet God used it to put Israel back into the nation again, to reestablish them. God's used it to set the backdrop to bless Israel in the future. And right now to protect them and supernaturally what he's been doing for them. Next we see the second most significant motherhood event in human history in verses 41 through 45. And this is Elizabeth carrying John the Baptist. Here's a little baby predestined by God to be a bulldozer for Jesus. He said, I'm going to go, I'm going to fill in the low paths, and I'm going to level the high paths. I'm making an expressway, a highway, straight to Jesus. He was a truth speaker his entire life, his entire public life. They said, if you want to hear the truth, you go hear John. And he was humble in it. And there's a reference even where the Lord Jesus acknowledged him as one of the greatest men who was ever born. John the Baptist called out the king, didn't hesitate to call out the king's sin. Herod lost his head over it, was beheaded over it. He said, I don't care. I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. I'm a prophet of God. That's what I've got to do. So we see this birth, and John the Baptist leaped in Elizabeth's womb when she heard Mary's greeting and was filled with the Holy Spirit. We see a baby listening, responding. My mother used to say, Daryl, I knew you were going to be active before you were born. You were climbing around in there. You were doing gymnastics. It was crazy. You know, and we see that with our little babies when they're born. And speaking to them, I know Josh Gardner, our son-in-law, spoke to Clara before she was born a lot. In fact, all of them. But we saw him right after she was born. She's laying on the French fry table under the French fry lamp warming up. And he goes in, and when he spoke to her, her little head flipped around. She opened those little closed eyes. She started looking at him.
She heard him. Elizabeth cried out a blessing on Mary in this encounter. And she cried out a blessing on Jesus also in verse 42. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, the baby Jesus. Blessed, blessed, blessed are you because of this." And then we see John in utero leap for joy at the sound of Mary's voice. He leaped for joy. He was so excited. Finally, I'd like to close with this. Preborn life is active, autonomous human life. Here we are today, Mother's Day, and God has no coincidences. There's no happenstance with God. Where we are now as a nation and what's going on. Preborn life is active, autonomous human life. The statement's made, get your religion off of my body. There's the question brought up, women's health. Here's a few quotes. Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic senator, this is all about making sure everyone in this country has the right to make this decision for themselves about a pregnancy. Chuck Schumer, the Democratic senator, to take away the rights of women and not be told by some doctor, some senator, some court justice how to treat their bodies. Republicans are passing laws across America saying, your body, our choice. Kamala Harris, Democratic vice president. If court overturns Roe v. Wade, it will be a direct assault on our freedom, on the fundamental right of self-determinism that we all are entitled to. How dare they tell a woman what she can do or not do with her body? On this Mother's Day today, we have to recognize, although the Democratic Party now does not recognize science, the new Supreme Court justice doesn't even know if she's a woman or not, but we have to recognize it's not women's health. It's the baby's health. Amen. We have to recognize that if you are concerned about women's rights, half of those babies were potential future women. It's not your body. Half of them are boys. It's not even your gender. Whether you believe in genders or not, it's not yours. And when we go through and we look at these things, this idea of the loss of freedom, the loss of rights, this law should have never been 50 years ago. It was not based on the precedents of our country. They went to Babylonian culture, Egyptian culture. They went to the most pagan places all over the world to shop this thing out. And it's always been against the Constitution of the United States because we are endowed with the Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life is the first one. Every person out there with their shrill voices carrying on about all of this are speaking with the arrogance of postborn people. They're already here. Do you think one of the protesters in the nation, if they were still in their mother's womb, would be protesting like they are now? Oh, go ahead and kill me. Go ahead and take me out. The idea of choice. Most abortions now are used as birth control. There is a choice. There's a choice to say no. I'm not going to have sex until I'm married. There's a choice, if you don't want to choose that choice, a choice to say, I'm going to use contraceptives. There's a choice, even the most radical of all, if I never want children, sterilization. All of those are choices. I got in a debate once with a Christian woman who has been real conservative on a lot of things. And we're going back and forth, and this woman was medically trained. And I said, you realize that the only choice added to this is kill the baby. All the other choices have always been there. Adoption, keep the child, the Hippocratic Oath, defend the child. Now you may say, well, what about rape and incest? So I looked up the statistics. 32,000 conceptions a year from rape. 6,369,000 pregnancies. Whenever they argue the rape incest, they're arguing the most minute, smallest, peripheral type issue of it instead of the central issue. 99.5% or more of all the pregnancies. Beloved, we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We're close to a righteous judgment. And let's stand tall and proud. And let's say, I love all life. I love every color baby in every mother's womb. Years ago, I got to pray for the opening of Tallahassee for our state legislature. And I prayed for unborn babies all over the state of Florida and for their mothers. The Democrats walked out, held a press conference. It was in USA Today. I couldn't believe it. It was freaking me out. We've got an election coming this fall. It's an opportunity to do the right thing, to be righteous. And there is righteousness in this issue. There is. You say, oh, Pastor, it's Mother's Day. I say, I know I can't help it. I'm a prophet. I've got to go there. I wish all my brothers would go there. We've got to pray and speak for the babies. Thank God for all you godly mothers. And there may be some of you may have actually gone through that years ago and gone through those decisions. And you know God loves you. He's forgiven you. And He does love you. And it's sad that you were pushed into those circumstances. But we need to stand and represent. There's babies all over our nation that need our voice. And this fall need our vote. And I want to tell you something. I mean, I've really swung around in the last 2 or 3 years on this. If you are voting for a Democrat, you are voting against the principles of Scripture. Categorically. You're voting for lawlessness, you're voting for Marxism, you're voting for murder of babies, you're voting for perversion. And I want to tell you something, as a pastor, just representing, I'm just delivering the mail right now. I don't want you to stand before God with something on you. I don't. So I want to warn you. And you'll remember it. You say, we've always been Democrats. Well, so was my family when I was growing up. But it's changed. Reagan used to be a Democrat. Trump used to be a Democrat. It's changed. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And thank you again for our moms. But also, Lord, we thank you for truth. We thank you for life. I thank you for baby Jesus years ago. You, Lord, when you were in your mother's womb. John, when he was in his mother's womb. And Lord, I just want to ask you, please, to fill us, everyone listening, whoever they are, with courage, boldness, righteousness to represent. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. Almighty God, please, please strengthen the Supreme Court justices. Please, dear God, take this dearth of death off of us, off our nation. Please, Lord, I pray you'll silence the liars. You'll silence those for the murder of innocent life, shedding innocent blood. Please, dear God, please, Lord, show us what to do. Help us stand strong. Today you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a mom watching. You say, I've gone through the very things you're talking about, Pastor, and I need that forgiveness. Jesus loves you. He's standing with open arms. He wants to receive you. He wants to forgive all of us of all our sins. And I'd like to invite you to right now just say, oh, Lord, I know you see me, you know me, you love me. Please cleanse me and forgive me. Forgive me of my sins and take control of me and live through me. Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart this morning.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, this is Mark Hennebach, and here's an additional message from Pastor Daryl Orman.
I'm Pastor Daryl Orman, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the last 30 years, and just want to speak to you today for a few minutes and thank all of you for your faithful listening. It's been exciting to encounter people in the public as they have been responding to our broadcast. We've been broadcasting now on this station for 20 years, and I'd like to read a passage with you and discuss a couple of things with you. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 54, beginning in verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. And then verse 5, for your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. I'd just like to thank you again for your listening. And for the last 20 years, we've not really been aggressive in fundraising with our radio broadcast. We have been underwriting it with the budget of our church. And today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about responding where we can hear from you. I've had some wonderful encounters in the neighborhood, in the area, in the city, in the county, as I've encountered different ones who have shared with me. Some have been listening 10 years, 15 years. A couple of the encounters recently that I'd like to share with you. I was eating with my wife and a pastor couple. We met them at Olive Gardens in Jensen Beach a couple of weeks ago. And we were sitting there waiting for the other pastor to show up from his church on a Sunday afternoon, right after church. And he showed up, sat down, and the waitress walked up, took our drink orders. And then she said, I just told some of the servers and some of the other workers, waitresses here, that you sound an awful lot like a pastor that I listened to on the radio, Pastor Daryl Orman. And my wife said, well, this is Daryl Orman. This is Pastor Orman. And she said, oh, my gosh, I didn't picture you looking the way you do. I pictured you in a brown suit with like a balding top and maybe a ring of hair around the side of your head. And I said, well, I hope I've pleasantly passed your expectation. And she said, you have had on a navy suit, and I do have a full head of hair. But she then went on and proceeded to say, I've been listening for years to your broadcast, and I work here and I have to work on Sundays. And so I asked Olive Garden if I could come in a little later so that I can listen to the message, the sermon, hear the word of God on my commute in. So every Sunday I'm able to do that. And it's just been a blessing. I've been mentioning to the other workers and inviting them to listen. And it was just such a blessing to meet this dear sister and to encounter her and how she's been blessed by the preaching of the word. And she did go on to say, you know, you preach the truth and it's scriptural. You're always in the word of God. And she really appreciated that. And then one of our staff members, we were in staff, our minister of seniors, Nick, was talking about his encounter. He shared Christ with a waitress at Cracker Barrel in Port St. Lucie. And I know it seems like a theme here of a lot of eating. Sometimes we could be referred to as Buzzard Baptists. But anyway, that's another note. So Nick said, I began to witness to her, and she said, oh, I'm a believer. And Nick said, well, I'm on staff at First Baptist Church of Stewart. And she said, oh, I listened to Pastor Daryl Orman there and hear him preach the word of God. And her testimony was similar to the waitress at Olive Garden, both of those just within a week, these two different encounters. And so our listening, through the years, we've had some commute down from Vero Beach, commute up from as far down as Broward County that have occasionally heard the broadcast and say, you know, I want to go up there and experience the church personally and First Baptist of Stewart and meet the pastor. So we've had some come through the years and come and do that. And I'd just like to put this out there and ask to if we can hear from you, specifically if you'd be willing to make a contribution to us, if you would be willing to say, yes, I've been blessed by the preaching of God's word, and I would like to invest in that and assist First Baptist with that. Our address is 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, 34994, Stewart, Florida. And would like to invite you, ask you if you could, to send, you know, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, and to help us with this. And beyond that, I would like to talk to you a little bit. I read the passage about expanding your tent and stretching yourselves, and I'd like to share something exciting the Lord's been doing with our fellowship, with our church, and in my life personally as well. When I first came here, my first Sunday was the first Sunday of August 1992, so 30 years ago this summer. And when I first came to the area, I had never really been in Stewart. I came up to visit the church because I was beginning to be contacted by them. And I was down in Broward County for 7.5 years at a church, a sweet church there. We started Christian school there. And so they began to contact me. And so we came up. And when we first came to the area, we asked, where is First Baptist Church of Stewart? That was years before Garmin or cell phones with directions or anything like that. And so we came to the area, and we were going to visit one of the services, a Wednesday night service, just to see the church before we begin to kind of negotiate and communicate with them on a calling. And so we came up, and when we asked for directions in town, everyone directed us to a church that's there on Colorado. It's the only church on the 76 corridor. And so we were repeatedly directed to that particular church. And so With that, when I begin to talk to the pulpit committee and the elders, the deacons, the leadership, the staff here at First Baptist, I shared with them that, you know, this was our experience, that even though we are in a good place on Ocean Boulevard, you can see our steeple from the new Roosevelt Bridge, that still it's not the greatest location. And with that, the Lord began to speak to my heart 30 years ago about First Baptist Church of Stewart being out on the 76 corridor. And so I took men and we looked at land years ago, different land that's now most of it under development with different communities. And there was one particular farm there, is a 40-acre farm that was owned by a previous member of First Baptist Church of Stewart years ago. And the First United Methodist Church here in town began to negotiate for that farm and actually purchased it 20 years ago. And so at that point, I had kind of died to the vision of relocating the church, and I had just backed off of it, and we had just kind of gone into our maintenance mode here and our ministry mode here at our current location. So about 2.5 years ago, I began to be approached about selling our property, selling our church facility. And at first, I just dismissed it. I said, no, there's no interest in that. And is one day I woke up and one of our businessmen had sold a commercial property down in Broward County. And I approached him and I said, since you just sold a property, would you approach the Methodist Church and ask them about their property? And he said, oh, I'd be glad to. So he did, as a businessman, just approaching them. And when he did, they shared with him that it was under contract. And I go. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.